It's time for Under Your Home with DryZone. DryZone in Milton, Delaware, your complete source for basement and crawl space waterproofing, foundation repair, and basement finishing. 24-hour service. We never sleep at DryZone. 888-617-0363 or online at DryZone.com/the duck.
Good morning, folks. This is Bill Anderson, and this is Under Your Home with DryZone. And this morning, I'm being joined with someone I haven't had here in a long, long time. Jason, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, Bill. How are you this morning?
Good. Listen, I appreciate you getting in here this morning with me. I know we've had it's been summer, a lot of vacations, you've had vacations, I've had vacations, a lot of hit and miss stuff. So I appreciate you being here this morning.
I'm glad to be back to help you out this morning, Bill. What are we going to talk about?
Well, I kind of wanted to talk about, we had a meeting last week, and I was having it with our designers, our sales guys. One of the common things that people are, I guess, having issues with, they're getting contractors in their home, and it all sounds the same. So when we go out there, we're talking about clean space. Let's just start with crawl spaces. And we'll go out there and we'll talk to homeowners about our vapor barrier, which is clean space, and we'll talk about our dehumidifiers, which, you know, we actually make our own. They're called a Sandy Dry CX. They'll get Chuck in a truck, and we all know who Chuck in a truck is, right?
We sure do.
It's just that guy who shows up with a station wagon and a ladder on top, and hopefully he maybe even has a magnet on the side of his door.
And last year he was mowing grass.
Yeah, and you know, really, I guess at the end of the day, if they show up with a magnet on their door, you can tell that it's a really old company, because I don't even think they make cars out of steel anymore, do they? Every car I think we have now is made out of plastic, but it's those guys who show up and, you know, they're in business for a little while, and not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I grew up in construction where my dad was a subcontractor, and he never had, you know, lettered up vehicles and all that, but he did one specific thing for contractors, so he wasn't advertising to the general public. But, you know, the things that we do, it is very much geared towards the homeowner, not the contractors, I guess I should say.
Yeah, Bill, the main thing for the homeowner to realize is that there are a lot of people out there that are advertising that they are doing some type of a crawl space encapsulation or some kind of a crawl space treatment. But, you know, it's up to the homeowner to really check these things out, because there's a lot of different products on the market, and there's a lot of ways that crawl spaces are treated that really aren't the proper way. And DryZone has been in business for quite a while now, and they have an excellent reputation concerning the encapsulation of crawl spaces. And you know the old saying, you get what you pay for, and that is certainly true when you have a crawl space done.
Well, you know, it's funny, Jason, because I was talking with my guys the other day. Like I said, we were talking really about, I guess, the difference between us, between other companies. Because, look, there's even companies out there that sell the exact same product that we do. So when we, you know, we got to compare apples and apples. And I was talking with Brad, who obviously we've had on the show before. You know, we were talking to him about really what is clean space. And, you know, yeah, it's 7 different layers of polyethylene. It's a high-density polyethylene for rigidity, a low-density polyethylene for the flexibility. It has 2 different cord reinforcements. It has a layer of ultrafresh that sits in there, which basically it's the same stuff we put in cars for the ventilation systems in it, so mold doesn't grow inside the, you know, the car air ducts and everything. And then we have our UV inhibitors that are in it, and then there's like a molten layer in the middle that kind of bonds everything together. All that's great, but you can have the perfect, perfect material, and if it's not installed correctly, just a bunch of junk.
That's correct, Bill.
So there's other companies out there. I can truly be proud to say that, you know, we've installed over 1 million square feet so far. That's a huge amount of plastic. We're the leading installer of our Turtle products. So it's these crawl space entry systems that are plastic, and it's watertight, and it's airtight, and it's lockable, and you can stand on it. And they're just these great products that our people, they're certified. Our salespeople are actually MHIC certified. So, you know, in Maryland, Jason, I don't know if you, well, I'm assuming you did know it, but not only the company, but the salespeople themselves have to have their MHIC numbers.
Right.
So, you know, all of our guys, we have all of our MHICs, so we're totally legal. So we'll go out to a homeowner's house and they'll say, well, we have clean space, or we have our plastic, whatever you want to call it, ABC plastic or whatever. And we have this, you know, this intelligent ceiling system or whatever it is you want to call the blame things. At the end of the day, is it all plastic? Yeah, it's all plastic in a way. So it depends on, number one, how it's installed. And then number two, what kind of warranties come with it. I was at a homeowner's house. It's been a few months ago, maybe even a few years ago now. And they had a triple lifetime warranty. And I was really trying to figure out how in the world you can honor a triple lifetime warranty, you know? Is it the triple lifetime of your company? Because once your company's out of business, it's out of business. Is it the homeowner? Well, I can only die once. If the home dies, it's only going to die once, right? I mean, you don't bring houses, you know, if it's dead, it's dead, it's gone. So they're talking about this triple lifetime warranty. And the funny part, like in Delaware, a lifetime warranty means 25 years. that's the most you can offer. That's like, you know, those of you who are in insurance, when you're statistically dead is you're 99 years old, right? You don't even make it to 100. And then the insurance companies, I don't know if you knew this, Jason, but when you're turned 99 years old, the insurance companies, the life insurance companies have to cut you a check for your insurance policy.
Didn't know that, but I don't expect to go that long. Yeah. Bill, I think one of the important things that we really need to make known to the people concerning our warranty is the fact that it is a 25-year nationally backed warranty that is transferable. Now, that transferable part is very, very interesting because let's say you have your crawl space encapsulated this year, and next year you decide to sell your home. Well, there's 24 years left on that warranty at that point, and your new owner of your home can take advantage of the rest of that warranty, the 24 years. So it's a big selling feature if you're going to be selling your home in the future, too. And being nationally backed, if our company owners decide they want to retire and the company's no longer in business, this warranty is backed nationally.
Yeah, the cool part about it is it's backed nationally. And really what that means, Jason, is that, like you said, say that Gary and I, we retire. I always say we used to get killed in a car accident, but probably retire is a better word, I guess. What actually happens is we have other dealers in our region who simply step in and they take over our warranties until there's a new dry zone put in its place. And then that new dry zone will simply honor the old warranties. So even if dry zone, me and Gary, or Gary and I aren't here, you still have a warranty. Because, you know, how many times do you get that? I mean, like when, you remember when GM was getting ready to go under? It was a bad time for the economy and everything else. Well, that car company was going to go under. Well, it's not like Ford was going to start taking GM's warranties and saying, well, listen, I know they're out of business, but we'll go ahead and take over your warranties. They were just going to tell you to pound sand, you know, that it is what it was and it's over and you should have bought a Ford, you know, whatever. So with us, even if we do go out of business, we do have the nationally backed warranty that's going to get you through.
And that's extremely important when you're considering the value of your house. You know, Bill, I've been talking to a lot of realtors over the last few months, going into their office and presenting programs concerning our products, and you would be amazed at the lack of information that a lot of these people have. And also, when I tell them about this nationally backed transferable warranty, that really turns on a light for them because they're in the business of selling homes. And anything that they can use to make that home more attractive to a buyer is extremely important. And these transferable warranties is one of the things that's important to them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Jason, I mean, you teach the classes. I've been with you on one or two of them, I guess. And it's amazing how, I don't want to say this, it's like normally, you know, a lot of times people, the brokers are a little bit sometimes hesitant about getting people into their meetings or whatever. Well, it's amazing to watch the agent's eyes light up, because I've done a lot of inspections after you've gone in and did all these presentations. And when I'm talking with them, they're like, oh, you know, Jason was so informative. You know, I didn't know anything about any of this. It's just been like this unknown place that everybody just kind of wants to get rid of, doesn't want to pay attention to. We just kind of want to gloss over the whole subject. And now that the agents are becoming a little bit more educated, they're really starting to not be afraid of what's going to happen when we come in there and talk to them about stuff. Because our goal, you know, I mean, our goal isn't to try to make anybody lose the sale, right? The homeowner who's trying to sell their house needs to make sure it's decent. The new homeowner will buy it. And I think a lot of times, you know, these real estate agents, they get really scared to have contractors come in because, you know, they're like, oh, we need a new HVAC system. And that's $15,000. And that just kind of throws everything out of whack or whatever the case may be. But with us, I think we really try to go in there and say, listen, folks, here's what we saw. There was one that that I talked to you with about, I guess, fairly extensively. I went in and I was asked to do this inspection of this crawl space for this real estate agent. He was actually the broker and I didn't know it. You know what I'm talking about. So when I got out there, yeah, there were some moisture issues and all that, but there was some foundation issues. So when we talked with the agents and the buyers and the sellers, we all kind of sat down together, which I think is a much better way to do that process personally, because I think it just kind of keeps everybody honest, number one. And number two, you know, it doesn't have to be this great big scary moment that everybody's looking at. At the end of the day, the seller ended up taking care of the foundation issues and the buyer needed to take care of the moisture issues because they built the home to code. So you can't tell them to fix something that was built to code, right?
That's correct, Bill. You know, the interesting point on that particular job was the fact that that real estate broker was so impressed with your inspection and your presentation, and he, not knowing that there were solutions to issues, made it a point to have all of his real estate agents informed. In fact, he went to the extent of having a special meeting where he had all 47 of his agents come to this meeting just so we could present the solutions to the issues that they're running into.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I said it before, like, you know, last year we had won a I guess it was technically this year we got the award, but it was through the Home Builders Association of Delaware. It was like the best website or whatever. And one of the main focuses on our website's always been, you know, knowledge is power. You know, I mean, the more informed a homeowner is, the more of an informed decision they can make. I definitely think the classes are taking a lot of that fear and a lot of that, I guess maybe fear is just the right word, I don't know. But it's taking that out of the equation because they're saying, okay, well, listen, maybe it's not as bad as what I thought. Maybe, you know, having you guys in here truly is, because I think a lot, there used to be this, do you know who Erin Brockovich is?
Yeah.
So I think just about everybody does. There was a great big movie on it with Julia Roberts or whatever. And, you know, it was this whole chromium thing in the water supply or whatever. Well, she had a great big mold case. Also, I don't know if you knew that or not, like in her own house. It was a personal house in like Texas or somewhere. And the gist of it was there was so much mold in this house. They had this thing tented up. I mean, there was just a tent. There were people in like spacesuits. People moved out of this house. I mean, it was bad. When really at the end of the day, all you had to do was stop the way mold grows in the first place. So you don't want to have to be so litigious about life because at the end of the day, mold doesn't grow if there's no moisture present. Or if there's not sufficient moisture present. And we always talk about lawsuits, and everybody always tries to, you know, sue somebody and this and that. And I think that's the reason why a lot of these folks have always been so scared over the years, because if you say mold, it's going to kill a deal and, you know, all those other things. And we don't use the word mold anyway, because really at the end of the day, there's mold in every 2x4 in your house, and you can have as many industrial hygienists in your home as much as you want. But I can get mold to grow on just about anything as long as it's organic, it's dead, and I've got some moisture present, and there's mold spores around.
Bill, that leads a little bit to education here, because a lot of people don't realize that mold requires three things to grow. It requires a mold spore, and they're in the air every place.
Yeah, you can't get rid of that. I mean, that's inside, correct. It's outside, it's everywhere.
It requires an organic surface to grow on. That's something that's been alive at some time. Wood, paper, leather, things like that.
Now, you know the analogy I use when we hit that part, right? Mold will grow on a steak, but it will not grow on a plate, yeah, right? The only right. difference is their mold, you know, steak was once alive. It was a cow.
That's correct. And the other thing that's required is sufficient moisture. So really, the only one out of those things that we can control effectively is the moisture. And if we can control that moisture in your crawl space, we can control the fact that the mold will not grow there.
And you know what my analogy for that one is,
too. Go ahead, Bill.
It's basically, look, way back in the day, we used to dry our fish, we used to dry our fruits, we used to dry our meats and everything else, right?
Correct.
Basically, mold doesn't grow on beef jerky because we've taken the moisture out of the equation. So really, all we're trying to do is make your house like beef jerky. And once we, like Jason said, once we stop that moisture, then mold itself can't grow. You know, I've heard a lot of theories. I was talking with an HVAC guy the other day in our own office. Because most of you don't know, but we've actually moved. So we're actually in Harbison now. It's a long story of why we moved. It's not, if any of you read the papers, it's not because of what you read. We moved because we just needed a different office. We actually needed more office space. We're growing and growing and growing. So we needed bigger offices and all that. I was talking with an HVAC guy because they were looking in our system or whatever. And we were talking about molds and stuff like that. And he was like, no, Billy, it just needs to be cold. And you won't have any mold in here. And I said, that's just a load of malarkey, because the whole idea with temperature has nothing to do with mold. You can grow mold in the Arctic, right? There's actually some mold that actually can grow in very frigid temperatures.
Yeah, look at that piece of food that's stuck in the back corner of your refrigerator.
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah, I mean, that's what we always talk to homeowners about, that, you know, when there is a refrigerator, you can always get mold in there. And my daughter, myself, and my wife, and I included, can all grow science experiments in there. And it's nice and cold in there. So it's not cold necessarily. That stops the moisture from growing and all that stuff. And we're going to talk about the great big terms and all that other stuff of what, you know, it's actually called psychometrics. But we actually, Troy's banging on the glass. We got to go to break. Jason, you want to go ahead and give out our numbers? Well, I'll tell you what, Jason's looking at me like he forgot our numbers. So it's 855-DRYZONE, which is 855-DRYZONE. You can always get a hold of us at our website, which is dryzone.com. And you can always email me any questions you have. You can email me at bill@dryzone.com. Jason, we'll be right back.
It's dark and dank, filled with mold and mildew, and there are creatures crawling, creeping.
Do you want to cut energy costs and save up to 20% on your heating bill each month? Let DryZone show you how. DryZone will install a clean space encapsulation system in your crawl space and save you money. When your crawl space is encapsulated by DryZone, your heating system won't work so hard, your tile and hardwood floors won't be cold, and your crawl space becomes great for storage. DryZone offers interest-free financing for 18 months.
855-DryZone, 855-DryZone, or online. At dryzone.com.
So when they asked us what we're doing this weekend, I said, time traveling. They said, what? And I said, we're spending the day in the 16th century at the Maryland Renaissance Festival. There's so much to see and do. It's continuous entertainment on 11 theaters and stages. It's the jousting, the food, the music, the pubs, the shopping. Saturdays, Sundays, and Labor Day Monday through October 21st. Check out MarylandRenaissanceFestival.com. Save big on admission through September 16th. Near Annapolis, the Maryland Renaissance Festival. Time travel to fun.
Do you work with or are you a member of an organization that provides employment information or job referrals? Any organization that regularly distributes employment information to job seekers or refers candidates to employers is eligible to receive information about our job vacancies. To be contacted when we have jobs available, contact Beverly Jones by mail, P.O. Box 237, Cambridge, Maryland 21613. Fax at 410-228-0130 or by email at bjones211@comcast.net. You will then receive periodic announcements of jobs at our stations. MTS Broadcasting LLC is an equal opportunity employer.
Here's a thought for businesses. If the sky began to fall right now, you'd hear about it right now on the radio. Tomorrow you'd read about it as history in the paper. Hi, this is account executive Kirsten Sturmer of MTS Broadcasting. Radio advertising. It's timely, it's frequent, it's in your home, in your car, in your office, on the beach, it's everywhere. And it's cost effective. Let me put the power of radio to work for you. Call me at 410-228-4800 or click sales on our homepage at mtslive.com.
That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight. And in the morning with your toast and mama lady-o. Who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million. 150 million people.
All right, folks, welcome back. So we were talking about psychometrics. Jason, before we do that, I'm going to give you a test and see if you remember our phone numbers. We're going to go ahead and give those out again.
I'm in trouble now. 1-800-DRYZONE.
Nope. 1-855.
Oops, 1-855. Sorry about that.
Apparently, I've tried to buy 1-800-DRYZONE for a long time. 1-800-DRYZONE is also 1-800-DRYWOOD, and it's a lumber company, I think, like out in Oregon, and they just will not sell me that. I've offered just thousands of dollars for that phone number. Now, it's 855-DRYZONE, and like I said, you can get a hold of us at our website, which is dryzone.com, dryzone.com. And for all of those who don't know how to use a computer, you don't necessarily have to put the www dot in front of all that anymore. But if you want, it's www.dryzone.com. And you can always get a hold of me if you have any questions or anything you need to ask. It's bill@dryzone.com.
Bill, we were talking before the break about mold and in a crawl space and other issues. One thing a lot of people don't realize is that science has proven that about 50% of the air that they're breathing on the first floor of their house is coming out of their crawl space. Or if they have a basement, it's coming out of the basement. So, you know, this bad air that's in your crawl space is actually coming up and you're breathing it in the house.
And what's that term called, Jason? Let's see how smart Jason is.
Oh, it's called the stack effect.
Stack effect, yeah. Basically, all it is hot air rises, right?
That's correct.
So, you know, like our attics are like 1,000 degrees.
Well, not quite that, but yes, they're up there.
It feels that bad sometimes. I was up in our attic in our new building the other day, and I thought I was going to pass out. It was like 4 billion degrees up there. I mean, it was like molten lava falling off the roof. I talked to homeowners a lot about this because truly, you know, if air is getting sucked in at the bottom and then it's rising up through our house, because let's face it, we open up these vents, these foundation vents in our crawl space in the summertime. And I don't care if you're in Wilmington. I don't care if you're in Hokesson. I don't care if you're in Pocomoke. I don't care if you're in Greenbackville, Virginia. I don't care if you're in Easton, Maryland, or I don't care if you're in Dewey Beach, Delaware. It's basically the same humidity level down here. We're sucking this nice, warm, hot, humid air down at the base of our home to try to dry up our crawl space, and then that air basically rises up into our living space, and then it rises into the second floor or third floor or whatever you have, and then it goes up to our attic, and it sits there until we put in a vent fan or whatever it is that we use to escape that stuff out of our roof. All the stuff that you're breathing outside, those mold spores that we were talking about earlier, they're outside, so that's getting sucked. Well, if hot air rises, what does cold air do?
Cold air falls.
So cold air falls. So our crawl space is normally cooler than the first, second floor, whatever, and so on, right?
And
so,
it's also cooler than the outside air is in the summertime.
Exactly. So we have all this nice, warm, humid, hot air coming into our nice, cool crawl space, and we start talking about condensation everywhere. On the pipes, on the ducts, on the wood, on the insulation, all of that stuff. And that whole batten insulation that we put in our crawl spaces, it's like a great big old sponge for that moisture. So it starts to glisten, and then it just starts dripping and raining and all that all summer long.
And what a lot of people don't realize, Bill, is that once that fiberglass insulation in their crawl space gets wet, it's of absolutely no use. It has no more insulation value. In fact, we run into cases all the time where the insulation has become so wet that it's literally fallen out from between the floor joists. That's another thing, too, I think we should make people aware of is the fact that if the humidity in that crawl space remains too high for too long a period of time, the floor joists start to absorb that moisture.
Well, yeah, and that's what a tree did for its whole life, right? It soaked up moisture through itself.
And once that floor joist absorbs a certain amount of moisture, it starts to decay. And if your humidity is not kept under control, you're going to be looking at rotting floor joists and having to replace floor joists in the future. And that is very, very costly.
Well, I'm gonna talk with something about something that you basically grew up in. You grew up in a lumber company.
Right.
When a tree is first cut down, what do they call it?
It's green.
It's green, exactly, right? So, and that just simply means that it's bendable, right? Like tree limbs and stuff like that, for the most part, they're bendable. Because if it wasn't bendable, it would just break apart and your tree wouldn't grow that big.
Right.
So when we cut these trees down and we take it to the mill and everything else, they also, I believe they kiln fire it too, right?
Well, there's actually a couple of different ways they can do that, Bill. You know, years ago, they didn't have the facilities for drying lumber, so it was used green as it was cut. And what happened, as it dried out in the house, then it started bowing and warping, and there were problems. Then they would stack it and put strips between it and air dry it for a period of time. Now, air drying is a process where the moisture slowly is taken out of the wood. But what happens there is the process is so slow that it leaves the pores of the wood open, so it can actually take on moisture in the future. But the best way to handle it is to kiln dry it. And this is where the lumbers actually run into a big oven, basically. The oven is heated, usually by gas or by byproducts from the lumber yard, and the lumber itself is dried out down to a moisture content of usually about anywhere from 9 to 14%.
So, yeah, I mean, and I apologize this morning, folks. I have a cold, so if I sneeze, I'm going to probably sneeze on air, so I'm going to apologize in advance. But it's one of those things, Jason, that if we don't build things correctly, they fall apart, right? And that's really what we're trying to do. Even if you have that porous wood that you were talking about, which do they really do that anymore? If they stack dry it?
No, most of it today is kiln dry.
Okay. But even if they did, when we talk about keeping our crawl space encapsulated, right, and dry, and, you know, with these different moisture barriers and vapor barriers and everything else, it wouldn't matter, right? Because we're still taking moisture out of the equation. We're stopping that moisture from occurring.
You're controlling the moisture.
Yeah.
And that is very important. And it's important for a number of other reasons, too. You know, the number one allergen in the United States today is the little varmint called a dust mite. And it's really so small you don't see it, but it requires moisture to live. But it doesn't drink moisture. It absorbs the moisture through its skin. And it lives on the first floor of your house. But if we can control the moisture content in your crawl space, that means less moist air is coming up into your first floor. And you're going to help to control the dust mites and the number one allergen in the United States.
Yeah, you know, dust mites are just, they're nasty. I mean, it's odd to, I think that they're just, have you ever seen a live one under a microscope?
I've seen a picture of a live one and they're really ugly.
We were up in Connecticut. I think it was a convention a few years ago. They actually had an electron microscope up. And I think it was an electron microscope anyway. And you could actually see this thing. And I'm telling you, man, it was the most, I mean, it sort of looks like a tick in a way. They're just nasty little creatures. I mean, it just ookied me out. And when you really find out how they're just, those little bit of droppings can tear you up. It's just amazing what one little teeny tiny, I mean, microscopic little bug can do to you.
Now, you just touched on something, Bill, and I'll elaborate just briefly on that. We're not actually allergic to the dust mite itself. We're allergic to the dust mite's droppings. That's pretty gross, but that's the fact.
Well, you know, it's funny too, Jason, because, like, they live in our bed and they live in our couches and they eat our dead skin. right? So, you know, we shed our skin, right? And they just sit there and eat it, and they're absorbing the moisture through their body, like you said. And like I said, they're just, you know, they're just pooping all day long, you know, and we're just sitting there breathing it up all day long. And
yeah. But now that we've grossed out everybody.
Yeah, I guess probably not the best breakfast conversation.
Yeah, let's tell them what we can do for them.
You know, like the whole idea, like I said, with those dust mites is if we can actually, once again, control the moisture, right, then they shrivel up and die.
Correct.
Because they have to have that. Just like us, if we don't have moisture to live, we can only live for, what, 7-8 days,
I think it's 3 days, actually,
three
they
days?
Say, without water.
Oh, I thought it was like 7 or 8 days.
Yeah,
3 days.
Be. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to go get a glass of water when I leave here then. I want to say I think it's like 7 or 8 days, but I could be wrong. But, yeah, I mean, without, I mean, really, even 7 days, you'd think that, you know, that seems like an awful short time, too, really, at the end of the day. But without water, we die. Without, you know, water, sharks die. With water, camels die. Without water, you know, birds die and snakes and everything else. So we all have to have moisture and water to live. It's just a matter of controlling that moisture so we can kill the things that we don't want to live. You know, that's just like all these little nasty bugs that live in our house, right? Forget the dust mites. I'm talking about the things that we see, the things that, like, my daughter is probably the most bravest girl I've ever met in my life. I mean, she'll do, you know, 300-foot roller coasters. We went to Disney World a little way. Actually, it's been a while back now for our vacation, and she rode on the Harry Potter ride, which I thought they were going to find a corpse of me on that ride when we got done. We did Space Mountain, which I was screaming like a little girl. You know, we did all those things, and she was riding all these scary roller coasters. One little spider will send that girl into a tizzy. She cannot stand a spider. She loved Charlotte when she was a baby from Charlotte's Web. Cannot stand a spider. So with spiders in our home, and crickets and camelback crickets and ants and rodents and mice and all that other stuff that live in our house, if we stop the moisture, those things go away too, because they all need moisture to live. And if we control that moisture, then we control the whole ecosystem in which they're in.
And one thing that a lot of people are confused about is the vents in our crawl spaces, in our foundations that go into the crawl spaces. And it's imperative that when a crawl space is encapsulated, that these vents be permanently blocked up and sealed so that
it's
no moisture.
It's imperative when we build a house with those crawl space vents.
Yes. And the factor that allows us to do that is that we put a dehumidifier in that crawl space. And it's not just a plain old dehumidifier that we go down to a big box store and buy. This is a dehumidifier that has been especially designed for crawl spaces. It has two filters in it. The one is more or less basically a dust filter, but the other one takes out particles in the air down to 2 microns in size, and that includes all your little bad things like mold spores. And
now, you know what that filter, you know what rating that filter is?
It's
we're
going to
give Jason all kinds
what
of...
What is it, an 11, I believe it is?
It's a MERV 11, yeah.
MERV 11,
yeah,
which
MERV is basically the way
right.
they, it's the way they categorize or... What's the word? It's early, Jason. it's how they rate them, I guess.
Yes,
yeah,
it's a rating for the filters, yeah. It's we might say it's HEPA-like.
Correct.
It's,
yeah,
not,
it's
a
not
a HEPA filter, but it's HEPA-like.
HEPA basically means you're scrubbing out, what, 99.9999% yeah. of the stuff out of the air. So it is HEPA-like. But really, most molds live, you know, well above 2 to 3 microns.
Yeah. The other nice thing about these dehumidifiers is the fact that you don't have a bucket that you have to empty. We can hook these directly up to a sump pump if there is one in your crawl space, or if there isn't, we can put a condensate pump on it and pump the water directly to the outside. Now, a condensate pump is just like on your air conditioning system to get rid of the water there. And these dehumidifiers actually are using less electricity than the cheapy models that you buy in the big box store. And they're also, they're automatic. They cut on and off as necessary in order to control the humidity. So they do not run all the time. And they're pretty quiet, too.
Yeah, you know, Jason, we actually make our own dehumidifiers, right? And we don't really like to call them dehumidifiers, I guess, around the office anymore. We call them air machines. Because a dehumidifier, you just go to Lowe's, you purchase one. These air machines that we sell, they're a Sanidry CX, and it's designed specifically for a crawl space. You know, there was no other environment in mind for these machines than a crawl space. So, you know, the air gets sucked through the top, it goes through the pre-filter, it goes through the MERV 11 filter, and then it goes through this great big air exchange, which an air exchanger simply means that it's a surface that's going to stay cold for a long time, and we're moving air through it, not once, but actually twice. So the more the air touches a colder surface, the more moisture you're dripping out. Now, and everybody's sitting there saying, who's been paying attention, you know, oh, well, you just said cold air isn't necessarily what's going to help get the moisture out of the air. It's true and it's not, because You know, a dehumidifier, you have to have a cold coil. The air sits on it for a long time and drops off its moisture. Well, our refrigerator, we know that we have to keep moisture involved in that process. Inside a refrigerator, you have to have moisture or everything else just shrivels up. Like, you would not want an apple that's just cold and dry, right? I mean, it'd be disgusting. It'd be all shriveled up. It'd be nasty. So we keep moisture in our refrigerators. So, Jason, I think we're actually about out of town this morning. I'm going to let you go ahead and give out the information. So otherwise, I'm going to sneeze on air. So
okay,
I'm
going to
let you handle it.
Well, great to be with you all this morning, and please give us a call at 1-855-DRYZONE or contact us at bill@dryzone.com or on the web at www.dryzone.com.
And what was that phone number again?
And the phone number is 855-DRYZONE.
You've been listening to Under Your Home with DryZone. DryZone in Milton, Delaware, your complete source for basement and crawl space waterproofing, foundation repair, and basement finishing. 24-hour service. We never sleep at DryZone. 888-617-0363 or online at dryzone.com/theduck.